right, take your Bible tonight, if you will. Let's go to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, if you have your Bible. Also, would you pray for Daylon? Daylon's been having some physical problems and not feeling good, so pray for him, would you? Ask the Lord to get him feeling better, get him in shape, figure out what's going on and what's wrong. But he would like to feel better, I know, so I hope you'll do that. Pray for our school. Our school is winding up. We've got just, 2 weeks and 2 days left for this year. And nobody is more excited about the end of school than me. So I am really looking forward to it being over this year. And but pray for us that we'll have a good year. We've already got people we're talking to about next year, and we need more students. And I'd appreciate you praying that God will help us to have the people he wants us to have. And he'd send the students that we need. It'd be a blessing, so I hope you'll do that. Exodus chapter 14, look at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea, besides Pihahiroth, and before Baal-zephon. Now, I have been trying to preach to you, really, a series of messages on Moses. And I'll be honest with you, tonight I'm not going to preach to you on Moses, okay? But in studying the scriptures, I got here, and I feel like the Lord gave me this message, and it is totally politically incorrect, okay? Amen. Completely incorrect, and it is not designed to make you feel good, okay? Amen. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of the stupidity of the sinner. Come on. The stupidity of the sinner. And some people say, well, now wait a minute, preacher. That's right. What happened to the comforting, the encouraging word? Sometimes we need a slap upside of the head, all right? And it's just necessary to do that. And that's kind of what we're going to do tonight. And if you need it, then take it. If you don't, hold it and hold on to it so later on when you're tempted, you won't need it, all right? You'll be straight. You know, I look at this and I would think Pharaoh, you would think Pharaoh would have had his fill of the Israelites by this time. You know what? You would have think, boy, I've had enough, but that wasn't the case, all right? There is something about sin. There is something about sin that makes the sinner stupid and seemingly incapable of helping himself. I mean, I just give you four things tonight I want you to see about this. First of all, we see his short memory. His short memory. It's amazing how short a memory we can have when it comes to sin. Pharaoh had just come through the 10 plagues that got sent in judgment upon him and the land of Egypt. He had come through those. He had seen his land decimated. He had seen his economy destroyed. Literally, really, his culture even was in shambles because a lot of those plagues had to do with things that they worshiped in the land of Egypt. And those that they worshiped had been turned against them. I mean, they had experienced flies and hail and frogs and lice and on and on, and those things had devastated the land now for months and just continued to go on. And then finally, the death angel had struck. All the firstborn of the land had died. And All of that had gone on. Every time Pharaoh had said no, and maybe then yes, and then no again, man, what a price he had paid. What a price his people had paid. But here we are. It's amazing how quickly he seemed to have forgotten all of that bad stuff that happened. And sometimes we look at Pharaoh and we want to jump on him and question, what in the world's wrong with that guy? But hey, the truth of the matter is, before we get too hard on him, we need to take a look at modern man. Maybe even the person you see in the mirror sometimes, all right? Because how many times have you heard somebody say, I'll never do it again. I'll never do it again. Boy, I can't begin to tell you how many times as a preacher I've had people say to me, preacher, I'm never going to do that again. I'm through with it. I'm through with it. I talked with an individual one time that spent, a guy I've known for years and years and years, spent many years of his life behind bars, and I talked to him, and I said, look, you know, what's going on? I hadn't seen him in a long time. He said, man, I'm done. I am not going back to prison. It wasn't very long, he's back in. Same kind of thing. Same kind of thing. How many times have you heard somebody say, I'll never touch another drop of booze? Man, I was so sick and I'm so hungover. I'll never touch it again. Man, it cost me my health, my family, my finances, my self-respect. I'm done with it. But they go back. They go back to it. It's not just that. It's drugs. It's so many things. I want to ask you to remember the shame you felt when you were confronted with your sin. Amen. Remember the shame you felt. Isn't it sad that so many times God's people, we go back to it? The Bible talks about the hog returning to its wallow. Oh, yes. Amen. Hey, the dog returning to its vomit. Man, what a mess. Why do we go back to that thing? We get beat up, we get battered, we get left, if you will, on the side of the road, but we come right back down that road again and let it happen again. I think about that fellow, the Good Samaritan, where the story of the Good Samaritan, that fellow that was coming down from Jerusalem, and he fell among thieves, right? And they beat him up, worked him over. The Good Samaritan came along, picked him up, took him. Often wondered, did he go back down that road again? Did he go back down that road again? You know, it may not be that road, in specifics, but in principle. Amen. So many times we get into sin and we have a problem with sin, but we keep going back down that road. We keep going back to it. Oh, we say, I'm done with it, I'm done. What happens? I'll tell you what happens. A sinner's got a short memory. Got a very short memory as to sin and to its effects. That's the case with Pharaoh here. Boy, he had forgotten. Didn't take him very long. Didn't take him very long. Hey, folks, listen, it's because of that short memory we have that you and I need to pray every day, God, I've got to have your help. Amen. You've got to have your help. Lord, I'm still dealing with it. We never get to that point where we say, well, I'm now immune to that sin. No, you aren't. Don't ever get to that point. Make sure every day you pray, Lord, help me. Hey, we see the short memory of the sinner. So short. But not only that, I'm just reading and I think I'm struck by the strong desire we see of a sinner. Look at verse 5, would you? Well, look at verse 5. Right down there near the end, he said, why have we done this? Why did we let them go from serving us? Why in the world did we do it, all right? Why? What's there? He still had that strong desire that he had to have the power over those people, to keep them enslaved and to bring them back and put them back into slavery, all right? He said, we need the help of the work they provided for us. They did a job where I still have that desire. If y'all know the truth, is that strong desire for sin that overwhelmed his good sense. Amen. Strong desire for sin. In our realm today, we might call it lust. It's that lust for that sin that overwhelms, if you will, good sense. Just absolutely overwhelms it. And that lust that controls and condemns the man who's walking after the flesh. He's turned away from God. All right, now, he might have been serving God there for a little bit, but man, that desire comes up, all right? Desire that is so strong, if you will, that we do what we don't want to do and don't do what we know we should do. Hey, that's what Paul was talking about. Maybe keep your place here, but look over in Romans chapter 7. Would you look in Romans chapter 7 with me? Look here what the Bible says in Romans chapter 7. Paul was talking about the issues he faced, and he was talking about, he said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But if you will, look at verse 15. Verse 15. Amen. He says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. And he goes on to say, I know that in me, in verse 18, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Why? Because the great desire of the flesh. The great desire of the flesh. Boy, I wish it wasn't so, but the truth of the matter is, when we got saved, God gave us a new nature, but the old nature wasn't eradicated. It's still there, and we still have to deal with it, okay? We still have to deal with it. We still have to tell it no. We still have to say no to that. When the doctor, you know, came to me years ago and they said, all right, you've got blockages and we're going to put some stents in. And I remember talking to the doctor, said, now you need to change your diet and all that kind of thing. I don't know how you felt about those kind of things, but I found out even with all of that warning, when I came home from the hospital, my desire for chicken fried steak was just as strong as it ever had been. I still wanted it. And I still wanted those potatoes totally immersed in that gravy, all right? And nothing had changed. I still had that strong desire. Hey, I still wanted to do some things that really weren't good for me to do. Shouldn't have done. And don't need to do. But the flesh still there. Hey, listen, it's so with sin, all right? The strong desire of the flesh. Just wants to overwhelm us, wants to overcome you. It pulls at you constantly. It comes after you, and it's relentless in its attacks, all right? If it quits attacking, what that means is you better take a deep breath. It's coming again. Be prepared. Why? There is that strong desire of the flesh, the strong desire to sin, the strong desire to do wrong. Even the Apostle Paul, he wasn't immune to it. We're not immune to it, all right? It's there, and it underscores our need, if you will, to maintain a close walk with the Lord, that we just maintain that close walk. On my diet, it just means my cook said we ain't having chicken fried steak. And I'd beg, she'll often come by and say, what do you want for supper or what do you want for dinner? And I'll say, chicken fried steak, mashed potatoes and gravy, or just fried chicken, you know. And she'll say, well, what do you want that you can have? All right. Hey, you just doesn't do any good. Hey, I need that. I need that. Hey, but we need that close walk with the Lord to keep this old flesh in check. We need that close walk with Him. We need to avoid, if you will, the path that even leads to sin. Okay? The path that leads to sin. Stay away from it. Don't go there. Why? Because we've still, the stupidity of the sinner, we still have that strong desire of the flesh. Strong desire to do wrong, to disobey. It's still there. Hey, we not only have that strong desire, but we have something else. We have a stubborn will. Stubborn will. Hey, can I say this to you? Pharaoh's problem always was with God. His problem was not with Moses. It was not with Aaron. Wasn't with him at all. His problem was way back there, if you remember, when he said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" That was his problem. His problem was with God. It's not with man. The Bible tells us he hardened his heart repeatedly. The Bible tells us God hardened his heart. But many times he hardened his heart repeatedly. The sinner has a will that just does not want to submit to God. You've got that will in you. God gave us a free will. And boy, we're a proud bunch. We're a bunch that said, "Wait a minute, I can do what I want to do." I was speaking in chapel today to the kids at school, and I started by saying, one thing I've noticed is there's a lot of you that don't like to be told what to do.
Amen.
Don't like to be told what to do. And you know, I didn't expect it, but I was amazed at how many heads I saw kind of doing this. They admit it. And you don't like to be told what to do. Why? We got that old stubborn will.
Come on.
Stubborn will. How many times have you heard somebody say when it comes to dealing with kids, you got to break their will?
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
You got to break their will. And you do. You need to have their will, right? Satan, the sinner has a will that doesn't want to submit to God. Even Pharaoh, even after he had felt the wrath and the judgment of God, he still thought, "I can still win in this battle. I can overcome it." I mean, he said, "We can still do this." I believe with all my heart, he thought, "We'll go down there. We've got them bottled up. They can't get away. And where they are." Now, he wasn't smart enough, because remember the stupidity of the sinner? He wasn't smart enough to figure out God said, "I'm going to finally fix you. I'm going to lure you into a trap." You think the Israelites are in a trap, since you're fixing to find out it's the other way around. So he had him come, but Pharaoh thought, "I'll go in there and I'll kill some of them, and then we'll cower the rest of them, and they'll be glad to just keep their life and come back and serve me and stay here, and I'll have all their wealth too." He still thought, "I can win." Why? Stubborn will. Stubborn will. Not willing to admit, "Hey, I'm beat. I'm beat." Now we wonder about Pharaoh. But I see the same stubborn will in a lot of people.
Yep.
Same kind of stubborn will. The preacher preaches and they get mad at the preacher.
Oh, yes.
They go away, they run down the church.
Right.
And then people don't care. I was talking, I think it was last night, my son, and we were discussing, he was talking about somebody that was talking about they wanted a church and they wanted one that was not judgmental. And I've often thought, what does that mean? Judgmental church. I look around. I don't consider First Baptist Church to be a judgmental church. I mean, we welcome folks to come. We welcome you to come. Now, we're going to preach you the Bible. We're going to preach you the Bible. Now, I'm convinced a lot of folks, when they say, "We don't want somebody that's judgmental," what they mean is, "Don't preach that Bible to me. Don't tell me that what I'm doing is wrong." And folks, though they get their way, they get mad at the preacher, run down the church, even get to the point they'll deny the Bible. You said, "I'm done with it. I'm not going to do it." Hey, can I say this to you? Their problem is not with the preacher. Their problem is not with the church. Really, their problem is not with the Bible. Their problem's a stubborn will that says, "God, you can't tell me what to do." Stubborn will. "You're not going to tell me. I will not submit to you." Now, can I say this to you? Those folks have never won in their battle against God. But they always think they see a way to victory. They always think, "Yeah, I haven't won, but this is going to be different." Once again, I'm going to say something that doesn't sound good to the world. These folks are as dumb as the devil.
Come on, preach.
They're just as dumb as the devil.
Right.
Hey, folks, can I say to you, the devil knows his end.
Oh, yes.
The devil knows what's coming. But he still fights against it.
Amen.
He still opposes it. Still refuses to bow. Hey, listen. If you're wrong, you're just wrong.
Amen.
Don't get mad at the messenger. Don't get mad at the person that tells you the truth. Don't get mad at the individual that opens the Word of God and says, look, this book points out where you're wrong and tells you. No, submit to God. Submit to God. Let Him have His way with you.
Amen.
Realize His way's right. Our way's often wrong. Be willing to submit to Him and take yourself to Him. Quit fighting against Him just because you've got that old stubborn will that says, you can't tell me what to do. Well, He is, and He will, and He's going to. And by the way, one day you will.
Amen.
I don't care who you are.
Right.
You will do what He says.
Exactly.
It's going to come, all right? Hey, got a stubborn will, very stubborn will. Got a very strong desire, but that sinner's got a short memory. But that's not all. If that's not bad enough of its own accord, I want you to look back in verse 5. I want you to see his senseless servants, would you? Look in verse 5. Notice what the Bible says there. It was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. You said, well, What's the big deal? I just want you to see, it wasn't just Pharaoh.
Right.
Now, you got your Bible open there. I want you to go back to chapter 10,
right.
Verse 7.
Yeah.
Back to chapter 10, verse 7. I want you to notice what happened, all right? This is in the midst of the contest with Pharaoh, and the plagues were just getting going. In verse 7 of chapter 10, and Pharaoh's servants said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? Hey man, can't you see what's happening? His servants came to him and said, look, turn them loose. Let them go. Because we're being destroyed in this deal. Hey, that was the group, though, now, when we get to chapter 14, this encouraging Pharaoh. Hey, let's go get them. The ones that had told Pharaoh, look, give in, let them go, turn loose, you know. They had seen the country destroyed. They admitted it. Now they're right there with Pharaoh saying, let's go get that bunch. What were we thinking? What were we thinking? You say, well, preacher, what's that got to do with me? I tell you, the devil always sees to it that you can count on some dumb folks who will hang around and encourage you in sin.
Amen.
There's always going to be somebody that will. There's going to be folks that they're going to claim to be your friend. And they're going to be right there encouraging you to sin. When you were a kid, it was that little wise guy that said, look, what your parents don't know won't hurt you. What your parents don't know won't hurt you. So just go ahead and do your thing. Don't worry about it. It'll be all right.
Amen.
And now it's that crowd that comes and says to you, hey, your wife won't find out. Your husband won't find out. Nobody's going to know. Hey, I won't tell anybody. Let's go. Let's go do it, all right? Hey, the devil's always got that crowd, all right? Sometimes it seems when you need them the most, they suddenly lose any sense they ever had about sin and the suffering that it produces. All of a sudden it is if, well, hey, man, there's never been a problem before. Why are we worried now, right? Never been any trouble before this. Why are we sweating this whole thing now? Just go do your own thing. We can do it. Hey, how foolish. How foolish. But man, there's always that crowd. I used to enjoy preaching to teenagers, I still enjoy preaching to teenagers. But, you know, that's one of the things you talk to them about. It's their friends. I said, you don't need a friend that encourages you to do wrong. You need a friend that encourages you to do right. But I have found out that it's not just teenagers that need those kind of friends. Man, it's people in their 20s. It's folks in their 30s. It's folks in their 40s and nowadays 50s, 60s, and 70s, all right? You need somebody that'll come along and encourage you to do what's right, warn you about what's wrong, but there's always those senseless servants that'll hang around. They're always there. They're always ready to say, well, if you will, I'll go with you. I'm in. We won't get caught. We'll never find out. Hey, the stupidity of the sinner. Hey, the sinner has never been known for his wisdom. And he never will be. The sinner has never been known for his wisdom, and he never will be known for his wisdom. The flesh that you contend with as a child of God, you still have to contend with that flesh. Let me say this to you. That flesh that you have to contend with, all right, seems to operate without any consideration or concern for the head, okay? It doesn't think. It doesn't consult with the head and said, let's think about it and see if we can figure out how to work. No, it says, go ahead and do whatever. Take a chance. Just get after it, all right? Hey, folks, that's why we get up and tell you, you can't trust your heart, you can't trust your head, you can't trust your flesh. We absolutely must follow the Lord. We've got to do what the Bible says. We've got to do what God's Word tells us to do. We can't rationalize our way. We just say, you know what? The Lord has told us what to do. Let's do it. The Lord has told us what not to do, so we're not going to do that. We've been given a commission by God, and we're going to obey God. We're going to obey God. We're not worried about what anybody else does. Hey, we're not worried. We're not going to it. We're not taking that stupidity of the sinner and getting ourselves into worse trouble. Don't trust yourself, all right? Don't trust yourself. It's time to trust God.
Amen.
It's time to trust Him. Put your faith, your trust in Him. But you'll never get anywhere trusting God until first you come to Him and trust Him to be your Savior.
That's right. Amen.
You just got to come to Him and realize, you know what? I'm headed for an eternity in hell.
Yes, sir.
Never trusted Christ. The wages of sin is death. That's true for me. It's true for you. That's the price. That's the price. We reject the Savior, we're headed to an eternity in hell. I preached to the young people this morning in our school on four things, four choices they made. Nobody can make them for you. You make the choice. One of those is your eternal destination. You choose where that's going to be. You choose. I've heard a multitude of people make this statement. I just don't believe a loving God could send a person to hell. He doesn't. They choose to go. They choose to go. God's done everything He can. He sent a Savior, and He had a perfect sacrifice for our sin. That Savior came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. He shed His blood on the cross, the innocent for the guilty, and He paid for my sin and yours. That's what the Bible says. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. And then He's given us the Bible. So here we are 2,000 years later. We still have the assurance of that truth. God loved us. He sent His Son to die for us so you'd not have to spend an eternity in hell. It's your choice. It's your choice. You can get saved. Now you say, preacher, I don't know about that salvation because I see Christians do such things. I know. I've just preached to you on the stupidity of sinners. We're still sinners. And God knows we do some real stupid things sometimes. But it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the Savior. And the problem is with the sinner. We've got a short memory. Short memory. We've got strong desires that we think we have to give into. We've got a stubborn will, and we've got some senseless friends. But I won't ask you tonight, how about your life? Are you listening to those senseless friends? Are you giving in to the lust of the flesh? Have you forgotten the price you paid for your sin? Have you forgotten that? Have you forgotten what it cost you? Listen, don't let that happen. Would you bow your heads tonight, every head bowed and every eye closed, and ask Brother Marion to come, the organist to come. We're going to sing a verse of invitation tonight. Listen, what about it? What about you? What about you? I know you've still got the strong desires because you still have the flesh. But are you maintaining your walk with God so you can keep that in check? Are you maintaining your walk with God? Hey, listen, what about you, okay? What about you? You got something you need to deal with tonight, would you deal with it? Listen, if you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we're going to sing a verse or two of invitation. I'm going to stand right down here at the front. If you've never trusted Christ, would you come to Him tonight? Would you be willing to walk down the aisle and take me by the hand and say, "Preacher, I want to trust Christ. I want to trust Him tonight." Hey, you can. You can. Would you come? Well, Heavenly Father, we ask You now to meet our needs. Meet with us tonight. Bless the invitation. Help us to be honest with ourselves so we can be honest with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together, if you would. We sing tonight, "Just As I Am," without one plea. God's speaking to you. Come. The altars are open. Would you come tonight?
Just as I am.